time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
Just like with the stock, it's a function of the volume of the security. You can often put your limit order in between those two prices. That's if you're still concerned about how do you value cryptocurrencies.
Sumeet, great having you back on the podcast.
Happy to be here, Nate. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we got this big Coinbase debut last Wednesday. This was a direct listing, not a traditional IPO. And by the close of trading, the company was valued at $86 billion. And I noted this on Twitter. The last private funding round Coinbase had back in 2018, they were valued at $8 billion, which is pretty amazing. But this was obviously a highly anticipated debut, and fairly quickly, I feel like attention started turning towards which ETFs would be the first to own this stock. To start, I'll just hand this over to you. Take us through which ETFs do already own this thing.
Yeah, Nate. So by my count, there's now 7 ETFs that hold Coinbase, and most of them piled into this stock on the first day that it began trading. ARK, a lot of people may have heard, was a big buyer of the name, and they've picked up positions in 3 of their funds. One, their flagship ETF, ARKK. They also have it in their internet-focused ETF, ARKW, and their fintech-focused fund, ARKF. Interestingly, 6 of the 7 ETFs that own Coinbase have similarly sized positions in the name, ranging from 1.1% to 1.3% of their respective portfolios. And that includes the 3 ARK ETFs, as well as the First Trust U.S. Equity Opportunities ETF, FPX, the Amplify Transformational Data Sharing ETF, BLOK, and the Sire NASDAQ Next Gen Economy ETF, BLCN. The only one of the ETFs that owns Coinbase that doesn't have a similarly sized position is the BlackRock Future Tech ETF, BTEC, BTEK. That has a much smaller position, 0.31%.
It was interesting. I was tracking ARK's purchases of Coinbase throughout the week. And as you mentioned, they jumped right in on Wednesday. I showed that as of this past Friday, they already own some 1.3 million shares of Coinbase across the 3 ETFs that you mentioned. And, you know, you think back, they were in early on the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, GBTC. Of course, a lot of people think about Tesla getting in fairly early there with ARKK. But I don't think any real surprise to see ARK jump in to the water there. The blockchain ETFs you mentioned, that makes a lot of sense. I guess any other ETFs that you're expecting to own Coinbase in fairly short order?
Yeah. We're definitely going to see it in the Renaissance IPO ETF, ticker symbol IPO. Renaissance, which is the issuer, they already said that's going to happen very shortly. And I expect that Coinbase is going to find itself pretty much in all the fintech ETFs that are out there, VFIN, FinX, iPay, TPay. You're also going to see it in a lot of the disruptive tech ETFs, not just the ARKs of the world, but all of the new ones as well. And you're going to see it in growth ETFs because obviously it is a growth company. The easiest way to know where Coinbase might end up is just to check and see which ETFs own PayPal and Square. Those obviously aren't perfect comps, but they are fintech platforms that have some crypto functionality. So as we move forward, wherever you find those, there's a good chance you're going to find Coinbase.
Obviously, the ARK ETFs are actively managed. I know Block is as well. Does this make a case for active management at all? Just in the sense that active managers maybe can be a bit more nimble reacting to new IPOs and indirect listings like this. Do you think there's anything to that?
I don't think so, Nate. And I'll just point out that some index-based products have discretion with regard to when they can add stocks to their portfolios. We've seen ETFs like FPX fast track some of these initial public offerings and direct listings into their portfolios ahead of their indices. FPX already did it. They already have Coinbase as one of their holdings, even though that's an index-based product. That said, I don't think an active strategy is better at capitalizing on new stocks in general. Most new stocks underperform the market, and even IPOs that end up being big winners don't necessarily take off right away. there's usually a lot of time to get in at similar prices to what you see on the first day of trading, if not better prices. And that's even more so the case with direct listings. In most cases, you have all the shares outstanding available for trading on day one when it comes to a direct listing. There's no six-month lockup period. So that's tended to put downward pressure on these direct listings during their first few weeks or their first few months. And so that gives plenty of time for a passive ETF to get into a stock like a Coinbase, like an Asana, or in the case of an IPO, like a Snowflake, and still do well if these end up being winning stocks over the long term.
Yeah, and I guess on that note of potentially being a winning stock, in terms of Coinbase's business itself, I'll be honest, I didn't have an opportunity to crawl through their S1 prior to the direct listing. I did have a chance to look at the financial data they released a couple of weeks ago, and I think I have a decent handle on their business overall. But any thoughts on their prospects moving forward, whether their competitive positioning, how tethered they are to crypto prices, those sorts of things?
Yeah, and it's a monster business, and they've done a phenomenal job creating this super easy to use, secure platform for trading crypto. And it's really allowed investors to be comfortable getting in to the space and not have to worry about whether or not they're going to lose their Bitcoins the next day due to some hack or something like that. That was a big problem early in the evolution of the crypto ecosystem, security. So they kind of solved that. And that reputation of being a secure platform allowed Coinbase to become this giant who has something like 11.3% of all crypto assets custodied on his platform. And due to that, it's been raking in the trading fees, both as more investors use the platform and as the dollar value of cryptocurrencies rises. So Coinbase essentially takes a percentage cut of each transaction that runs through his platform. So higher volumes flow directly to the company's top line. And they put out numbers a couple of weeks ago indicating how huge this boom in cryptocurrencies has been for them. So in Q1, they said they had revenues of $1.8 billion, which is 10 times their sales from a year ago. And net income was $765 million, which is 20x from what they had a year ago. So you annualize that figure, $765 million, and you get something like $3 billion of profits for the year. So when you consider that, suddenly Coinbase's $86 billion market cap doesn't seem all that expensive. That said, this is a stock that is highly, highly leveraged to cryptocurrency prices, specifically Bitcoin and Ether prices. If you look at the first quarter, the main reason they're making all this revenue and all this profit is because trading volumes exploded to $335 billion in Q1. That's 75% more volume than the company saw in all of 2020. So you're going to ask, like, what's driving this? Well, for one, there's more monthly users on the platform, 6.1 million versus 1.3 million last year. But on top of that, as everyone knows, crypto prices have exploded. Bitcoin was up 5 times from a year ago, and Ether was up 8 times. So you combine the two, more trades and at higher prices, and you get these massive volumes, which again, Coinbase takes a cut of, primarily from retail investors. Now, that's all the good stuff, but like any investment, there are some risks. And the risks in this case are twofold. One is obvious, crypto prices go down. If that happens, Coinbase is going to take a direct hit to its revenues and its profits. And depending how big that decline in crypto prices is, it could be substantial. Remember, last year, revenues were 90% lower than where they are today. The second risk is competition eats into Coinbase's transaction revenues. So this is a company enjoying take rates of something like 0.5% for every dollar transacted on its platform. That's an extremely large number for an exchange and something that competitors are going to undercut it on. And if you think crypto trading functionality ends up being a commodity, that number can go down quite a bit. So those are the risks that investors have to watch out for. On the other hand, maybe Coinbase stays ahead of the competition by adding other functionality onto its platform or building some kind of moat that keeps customers on its platform and away from competitors. So these are the types of things it has to do if it wants to maintain this lofty $87 billion valuation and keep growing rapidly.
I think that's an excellent overview. And I'll just add, on the risk side, I agree, watching the competitive landscape is going to be really interesting, because if we look at every other aspect of financial services, what have we seen? Fee compression, right? Competition.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This terror dome mentality. And I've said before, I think that crypto trading and custody, that's all going to be table stakes at the major brokerages. Now, I'm talking Schwab, Fidelity, whoever you want to toss in there. I think all will be offering those capabilities sometime in the next few years. And as those types of players get involved in the crypto space, obviously Coinbase, to your point, they're going to have to, you know, try to stay out ahead, whether through technology or otherwise. So I think that's going to be really fascinating to watch. Sumit, as you always know that I like to do when we start talking crypto, I want to head down the Bitcoin ETF path just a little bit. And I guess a couple of angles here. First, until a Bitcoin ETF is approved, do you think Coinbase may pick up some investors who just want to play crypto or Bitcoin? To your point, you know, it is tethered to crypto prices. So do you think it could pick up some investors who just want to play that space but don't want to invest in crypto directly?
I think it could pick up some of those investors in the same way that energy stocks are sometimes used as a proxy for oil prices. But like I mentioned earlier, Nate, Coinbase has business risk and business opportunities that go beyond just the cryptocurrency prices. So as long as investors are aware of that, then yeah, you can use it as a proxy, but it's going to be not a perfect proxy for Bitcoin.
I guess more importantly, do you think Coinbase going public will have any impact on the SEC approving a Bitcoin ETF? Because I think you can make the case that Coinbase going public sort of legitimizes crypto, right? Just in that we now have a crypto exchange as one of the larger companies by market cap. I mean, you look, it's bigger than the Intercontinental Exchange, which owns the New York Stock Exchange. It's bigger than NASDAQ. Do you think that matters at all to the SEC, or just completely irrelevant?
I think it has to impact their decision making at least a little bit. I mean, Coinbase's debut is just another thing we can point to and say crypto has entered the mainstream. And, you know, that goes along with other advancements we've seen in the space, like, you know, Bitcoin futures and the acceptance of Bitcoin by institutions and institutional grade custodies and things like that. So if you look at everything in totality, I think Coinbase adds to that idea that, you know, the market is ready for a U.S. listed Bitcoin ETF.
All right. Before I let you go, still on the Bitcoin ETF topic, though not related to Coinbase, did you see this last week with ClearShares changing the ticker symbol on their intermediate fixed income ETF to BTC? So this ticker was, what was it, PIFI before? And then they also announced that Grayscale has become an equity owner in ClearShares. What'd you make of this?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've seen all the speculation on Twitter about maybe Grayscale, they bought into ClearShares for access to that symbol, BTC, which maybe it's going to use in place of GBTC down the line. Who knows? I mean, you know, we know that tickers matter. Last week, I saw an interview and the Coinbase CFO said they chose NASDAQ to list because NASDAQ had access to the symbol coin. So symbols matter, and we've seen it in the ETF space. A catchy symbol can go a long way towards attracting investors. So it's going to be interesting to see which product, if any, ends up using the BTC ticker.
Do you have any issue with this fixed income fund changing the ticker before actually, whatever ends up happening, whether this is some sort of conversion or Grayscale takes over the ticker, we'll see what happens. But do you have any problem with them changing that ticker early while that fund is still, again, investing in treasuries?
I mean, I wouldn't want to see that if that was a fixed income fund that I was invested in. But ultimately, issuers are going to do what they think is going to be good for them. So I'm not surprised to see it. I wouldn't necessarily want to see it if I was an investor in that fund.
Well, Sumit, great stuff as always. Really appreciate the time. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Nate.
That was ETF.com's Sumeet Roy.